Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show. Joining us, as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, one of my best friends online, Andrew Malcolm, RedState.com. He's the best. You know it. We'll just say that every year, every show. Andrew's the best. Here he is again.
And I'm wearing a beanie that has a spinning.
That's pretty good. Nicely done.
There we go.
There you go. Yeah. By the way, we're introducing Andrew as my anonymous source within the mainstream media. We're disguising his identity. You'll never be able to guess.
That's right. What
his name is Andrew Malcolm.
it's my podcast name is Andrew Malcolm.
That's right. Yeah. It's his nom de guerre. It reminds me of a movie I saw. I think it was a movie where they're interviewing some guy and he's a whistleblower of some kind, and the interviewer is in the shadows, and the guy that's giving the information is brightly lit. And at one point somebody says, "I think you guys are sitting in the wrong chairs."
That's great. That is wonderful.
That's fun. All right. Look, I mean, the story today is, as far as I'm concerned, really the only story. I know that there's more going on in the world, but for the second time, Andrew, in 2 months, somebody with the rifle got close enough to Donald Trump to target him. Now, this time, the guy didn't get off any shots because the Secret Service spotted him first and opened fire on him.
And missed.
Well, they missed, but they were firing into a bush line. They didn't actually see the guy. They just saw the rifle.
Well, okay. That's how you know it was not a professional assassin with the rifle sticking out. Like, hello.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Yeah. I mean, why.
You know, when you see real snipers in work, they're inside the room, shooting out the open window. They're not sticking their rifle out so you know who to shoot.
Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. I've never seen a cycle like this. And, you know, I've been through some pretty contentious elections, right? But this is off the charts nuts.
Yeah.
And today, I'm going to have you address that point first. I want to go someplace with this, but I want you to get into the conversation here. Just your thoughts.
Well, it's this whole cycle. Number one, it's the longest in American history. It started 2 years before the election. Yeah. And it comes at a time of great partisanship in the country, great division. The media is feeding it, actually pouring gas on it. Biden did the same thing, all this Hitler comparisons. We must stop it. He's a threat to democracy. I mean, it's just, who's been the guy who was censoring social media? It wasn't Donald Trump. He was kicked off of social media. So you don't want to, I said a few weeks ago in the column, the Sunday column, I said, well, I'm not making any more predictions about anything in life, let alone in this campaign. It's just, there's so many unprecedented things that are happening. I think for better sometimes and for worse sometimes, Trump is the catalyst, is just driving these Democrats and TDS people off a cliff. When you sit down and start listing the ways they've tried to get him, and they started organizing this before the 2016 election. Remember that FBI shark saying to his girlfriend, "We've got to have an insurance policy."
Yeah,
and they were planning the whole Russiagate and the two impeachment things. I mean, and of course, naturally, Trump will use this. He said today, which is Monday, that I will never surrender. I mean, I don't blame him. This is, it's just, it's very sad. I know people want to say, oh boy, this is a new era of violence. It's not. It's not. I mean, we had attempted presidential assassinations back in Andrew Jackson's day.
Yeah. Well, we had two. I mean, I wasn't around for Andrew Jackson's day. I mean, I'm not sure about you, Andrew, but I wasn't there.
Yeah. I feel like I was some days, but he was out for, I mean, this is old Hickory, right? He was out for a stroll on Capitol Hill, which presidents could do in those days, and a would-be assassin jumped out of the bushes with two musket pistols, and they both misfired. And the president, he didn't have any Secret Service. He didn't need any Secret Service. He beat the man senseless with his cane, his Hickory cane. And the guy spent the rest of his life in an insane asylum, which is what they called it in those days. So, yeah, we've had violence, you'd have to count up the assassin. Was it Garfield, McKinley?
Yeah, Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy, and then Reagan actually got shot. Teddy Roosevelt actually got shot.
Yeah, and then Andrew Jackson. And they're always, and there was an attempted one on FDR where they killed the mayor of Chicago, Anton Cermak. Now, the rumors were afterwards that it was really an assassination of Cermak, who was driving one of the fights against Al Capone. And they were riding in a car, and the assassin, who was some guy from Eastern Europe, jumped out and shot into the car, but he hit the guy next to Roosevelt. This was just before Roosevelt's inauguration. But just to show you how things have changed, that was in February of 1933. Yeah, 1933, February 1933. In March, he was convicted and executed. So there wasn't a whole lot of long appeals in those cases. And of course, there were dozens of eyewitnesses, so there wasn't much doubt about who did it.
No, well, there wasn't too much doubt about who did either one of these two either. I mean, the one guy got shot and killed. And, you know, I watched the live press conference this afternoon, on Monday afternoon as we're recording this, right? And the Secret Service was there, and the acting director, Ronald Rowe, was, we did our jobs. Everything's great. We need a lot more resources from Congress. And
yeah, don't let any crisis go to waste.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that this morning, right? Because people are saying, we need more resources. We need more resources. Joe Biden this morning, right? Joe Biden said that he was, thank God that Donald Trump wasn't hurt, which is nice. You know, sort of a bare minimum, I would think, but it's nice. And then said the Secret Service needs more help. Well, I took a look at this, right?
Yeah.
The Secret Service budget is close to $4 billion if you count in some other funds. It's $2.5 billion, and $3.8 billion with some extra funds that they have access to, because DHS has, I guess, about, they have a budget of $103 billion, but they have access to another $86 billion somehow. I'm not sure. This is on the government spending site, and I'm not sure how that works. Maybe it's some other funding that Congress has provided.
I don't think you're supposed to know how it works, Ed.
Well, that's exactly. It's the point. And, you know, this is part of the Department of Homeland Security. Right. And it has been since 2006, since they created the Department of Homeland Security and moved the Secret Service out of the Treasury Department, where a lot of people think it should have remained and probably should go back because there's more focus there on it. But they have a budget of $4 billion, or at least they have access to $4 billion this year. Their personal protection budget is $1.03 billion, right? And that is almost double from the $509 million that particular part of the budget had 8 years ago. During the election, it was an election cycle in 2016, and the Secret Service had $509 million for personal protection. That includes the conventions. It includes two candidates going out in the road, Donald Trump doing the rallies, Hillary Clinton doing her thing. And in 2020, the budget for personal protection was $725 million. These guys have gotten more resources, right? They've gotten more resources. It's doubled in 8 years. That part of their budget has doubled in 8 years. And even if that wasn't enough, the Department of Homeland Security could simply shift funds around to get the resources it needs, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Here's the other thing, okay? The Department of Homeland Security has a budget line. And again, this is the government's own site, usaspending.gov. That's a government website. And you can look at this data, and I got it linked in a couple of the posts here. And the Department of Homeland Security has something, it's called, I want to look at this, so just give me just a second, because I want to make sure that I get this nomenclature correct, because the nomenclature itself is sort of bureaucrat speak, right? So it's called the Management Directorate at DHS, right? The Management Directorate. Now, the budget line for the Management Directorate is $6 billion. They're spending 50% more on the Management Directorate than they are on the entire Secret Service, right? And my suggestion would be, if Joe Biden needs to, well, first off, Joe Biden doesn't apparently know that he's in charge, right? And he could actually do this with a couple of executive orders. But maybe they should get rid of some of the Management Directorate and send the resources back over to the Secret Service where it can be useful. I mean, this is all buck passing. Everything today I've heard is buck passing. It's either buck passing or spin, like the Secret Service coming out and saying we did everything right, and reporters are asking, how the hell did a guy with a rifle get onto the golf course in the first place? And how the hell didn't you look for him, because he was there for 12 hours before you showed up? Oh, well, we did everything right. It wasn't on the schedule. It's the reason why we didn't look for it. Well, yeah, but once Trump decided he wanted to play a round of golf at his own golf club, maybe you send up a drone with, you know, some heat-seeking stuff to find out whether or not the course is clear.
The first attempted assassin did have a drone to scout the site.
Yeah, the assassin did. The Secret Service didn't use it. And that was the other thing that happened today, too, is Josh Hawley published his whistleblower report, which I read. And it's not long. It's easy to read. And he's forwarded all this information to the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, which is doing its own probe of the July 13 assassination attempt. And do you know why they didn't put law enforcement up on that roof that was only 130 yards away from the stage? You want to know why they didn't do that? Because the roof was too hot.
Oh, my gosh.
The roof was too hot, so they just didn't bother. Now, it wasn't too hot for Thomas Crooks, who climbed up there and shot Trump and killed Corey Comparatore. From that roof line, but it was too hot for law enforcement and Secret Service, so they just didn't bother sending anybody up there. 130 yards away from the stage, right? You don't need to be von Clausewitz to realize that you need to control the high ground in a situation.
Gosh. Like, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was too hot.
You know, what's the... these things, which are incompetence personified, they seem to happen a lot with Biden, but nothing ever happens to prevent future ones. You know,
right?
I mean,
Kimberly Cheadle did resign after that, so it's like the first time we've ever even seen.
Big deal, okay. I'm not dead, but I'm going to resign. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take my pension early.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole thing.
Fauci.
Yeah, Fauci's another thing. Well, the withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's all of a piece. Everything that they do is half-assed. They don't think anything.
Everything he touches turns to crap. And the Afghanistan, as I understand it, the Pentagon wanted to do it right, and he didn't. He wanted everybody out, a clean slate on his terms. So everybody had to get out, never mind an evacuation. And the Pentagon, smartly, knowing, having done this before, said, well, they followed his orders, of course, but they had organized 8,000 more troops because they knew they were going to have to go back in. And as soon as they obviously had to go back in, they went back in with the troops they'd organized. So they didn't have to organize them. It's just Biden, you remember, he's the guy who was the only one to vote against going after bin Laden. He doesn't trust the military. He's made that clear. Of course, he didn't serve. And what was his uncle got eaten by cannibals, as we know, in the military. But Robert Gates is wonderful story about being defense secretary for two different party administrations. He's the one who said that Biden has been wrong on just about every single foreign policy issue for 40 years. And he has been. And he's still got elected, not because of who he is, but because of who he isn't. He wasn't Trump, and that's why he got elected. Right. And so we're stuck with that, the way we were stuck with Jimmy Carter when so many people voted for him because they were angry at Gerald Ford for giving a pardon to Nixon. It's very dangerous to vote against somebody because you don't scrutinize the alternative. That same thing is being set up this time. Kamala would love to have people vote for her because she's not Trump.
Well, no doubt, right? And I agree with you on all of the above. But, you know, if you're Ronald Rowe, going out, I mean, it takes a lot of balls to go out there in front of the camera and talk about what a great job you're doing when all of this data is still coming out about July 13, and they still aren't cooperating with the investigators. Ron Johnson, the Federalist, had this. Ron Johnson's complaining that they're still not cooperating with the investigation. The FBI isn't, the Secret Service isn't. They claim they're cooperating, but they're not.
Who's going to blow the whistle on them? It has to be independent people inside, because the media has forfeited its job, its constitutionally protected job as government watchdog. It's forfeited it because it wants Kamala so much. Wow. And they like Biden so much and they dislike Trump so much. It's hideous. It shows the importance of the media, but it also shows how they have forsaken their duty.
Well, and I was going to ask you about this because that was part of my frustration today, right? Is you have the media reporting on this, kind of, sort of, right? This happens yesterday. And I wasn't watching at the time, apparently. Somebody was saying this on NBC. I was watching that there was a sports event on NBC when this happened. It wouldn't have been the football game because it was like 5 o'clock-ish on the East Coast, and NBC's football game didn't start until like 8:30, right? But it was some other sporting event.
NASCAR, I think.
NASCAR. And I was watching football. I believe it was on CBS. It wasn't the Dallas game because that was Dallas got their ass kicked. And I would have remembered. I would have appreciated the interruption. I think it was a later game. It was one of the later games I was watching. I couldn't watch the Steelers game, so I was watching somebody else's game. And nobody broke in with the news that there had been a second assassination attempt, right? Even though the FBI was saying right from the get-go, this was an assassination attempt. This was a setup for an assassination attempt. This was a sniper setup and all this kind of stuff. They caught the guy. Nobody broke in. I think at halftime, in the game I was watching, they mentioned it briefly as like a news update. Oh, by the way, former president almost got assassinated today. The price of oil went down. And we'll have more on that later for you. You reading through, and I picked on Bloomberg because Bloomberg's main headline this morning was that Trump was basically pouncing on this to go after Harrison. Oh,
of course, of course.
And so, you know, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, right? Was the media impulse on this is basically to circle the wagons around Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, even though they are continuously complaining about Donald Trump's rhetoric in this thing. And as you know, Charles C.W. Cook said, can somebody please tell me the rules? Because when, and he brought up, and I didn't even think about this until he brought it up, when Paul Pelosi got attacked in his house by a nut, by some nutbag, right? Everybody in the media said, this is all about how Republicans go after Nancy Pelosi and how they criticize Nancy Pelosi. And they were bringing up ads from 12 years earlier to blame it on Republicans. Meanwhile, you've got not one, but two assassination attempts in the last 2 months against Donald Trump. And the person they're blaming for that is Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's clear. Isn't it clear to you, Ed? He asked for it. Yeah.
Yeah, his skirt was too short, which is... I gotta bring up a whole other thing on that. There was a story about Shakira. I don't know if you know who Shakira is, but she's a singer. She's a singer, right? I think she's in her 40s now. Very lovely woman. I saw her interviewed on stage in Israel once when I was there for one of those conferences, and you know, it was a pretty thoughtful interview, and I was actually kind of impressed by her. I think she's Spanish, if I'm not mistaken, but she got up in a club in Miami in a mini skirt. And then stopped dancing, refused to go back because somebody apparently was taking an upskirt video of her, like, you know, you know, and I put it up in the headlines and people were saying, well, if you wear a skirt that short and you stand up on a stage, it's hard to miss, right? And they're like, yeah, I get that, but it depends on how the camera's angled. She was only complaining about one guy, but it is sort of that blaming the victim thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have to have a victim because that's the next news cycle. Got to have something new, and it can't be anything positive about Trump or protecting him. You know, I kind of throw up my hands. I understand why some people just have dropped out of the news cycle to pay attention because it's just so outrageous and nobody's doing anything about it except not paying attention, which isn't helpful if you're coming to an election.
Well, no. I mean, exactly. I mean, yeah, Pope Francis talked about this. Just think about Pope Francis. I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
I want to get to your column here in a second, but Pope Francis was actually asked about the election. Right. Or I don't even know if he was asked. He just brought it up on the plane. He's on a tour someplace and he was flying from one place.
I think it's the longest trip he's ever taken
I think it's 12 or 13 days. Right. I mean, it's almost 2 weeks that he's going from place to place. And he told Catholics that you have to think about the lesser of two evils. Right. And he talked about how Donald Trump treats immigrants and how Kamala Harris backs abortion. And he didn't endorse one or the other, right? And he said, you know, you're gonna have to figure this out for yourselves, but in an election like this, you still have to vote and you have to make this decision. And you're gonna have to pick the lesser of two evils from a Catholic perspective. And I thought it was kind of interesting that he told Catholics, no, you still have to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
No dispensation. You have to make a choice here. And then for me, the lesser of two evils is pretty easy. If you're talking about immigration policy versus abortion, Catholic teaching is pretty clear as to which one there's nuance and in which one there isn't.
Yeah.
But I just found that interesting that, you know, he kind of threw that one in there.
It is. Yeah. I didn't realize that. He's an interesting man.
He's an interesting man. You know, look, I know that a lot of people get really irritated with him. And believe me, so do I at some of the stuff that he says. And in the same interview, there's a whole thing about it. This has nothing to do with politics, but there was this whole thing about basically he was saying that all religions basically take you to the same place. And I mean, I'm no master theologian, but I'm pretty sure that that's not what Catholic teaching says. And it was like, he was talking to kids, right? And so basically, you know, saying you just have to have faith. And I get dumbing things down a little bit for kids, but, you know, saying things that just contradict your teaching is a little bit different.
Yeah, he's so, watching too much of Kamala videos.
Yeah, well, and that brings us to your column. So thank you very much for a nice segue. your column yesterday, and you wrote this, you wrote and published this before we knew that there was another assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And
yeah, I imagine you're right about that. Yes, I did.
But your column is, can media dupe enough of us to grease her way in? And I'm not necessarily sure that it's working. You saw her 11-minute interview with that ABC affiliate.
Oh, wasn't that stunning? Oh, geez, oh, Pete. He set it up in just a couple of examples. He wasn't asking for big. And she just, oh, my God. Well, no. You know, if somebody who's trying to explain space to space scientists or explain to the world what the hypothesis is, or, you know, Ed, I don't know if you know about the computer clouds, Ed, that are up here.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was above our heads.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not. Listen to me now, Morrissey. Listen to me. It's not in your computer anymore. It's up here. And AI, you know, that can be a scary thing. It's really only two letters, A and I. And it really comes down to machine learning. And so the question is, what do you put into the machine and what comes out? Are you getting the, oh, wait, I don't see you taking notes, but okay.
Well, I'm taking notes, all right, pal.
Okay, that's the last time Malcolm's on.
No, might need to have you on every single day if you're going to bring up this kind of material, because it's great. Yeah, you know, in 2008, you know, Barack Obama talked a lot about hope and change, right? We're talking about joy this time around. He talked about hope and change, hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. But you got the sense that Obama understood policy, right? You may not agree with him on policy. I certainly didn't agree with him on policy, but he understood policy. He understood issues. He, if you asked him specific questions, he would give you specific answers. He tried to avoid them because, of course, he was trying to be everything to all people, but he did it in a policy sense. You know, he's a smart guy. That's the difference. Kamala isn't. She might be on the law. Maybe as a prosecutor, she was good. I don't even know if that's true. But everything else, she gets asked for specifics. And this is Brian Taff, right? I forget the call sign, but it's an ABC affiliate in Pennsylvania. I think Western Pennsylvania. Might have been the Pittsburgh affiliate. And he says, just give me one or two specifics about what you're going to do about high prices. Well, I was born in a middle-class family.
Yeah.
I mean, she went to home ownership. She was going from just disconnected things.
No, I know. It's just, it's like a salad. It's like a tossed salad. Yeah. It's not even got the spice of a Caesar salad. It's stunning. And this is why, I mean, she's got nothing but joy and hope and change. And for me, the word joy has forever been tarnished by what's her name on The View, who was misnamed Joy.
Joy Behar, the least joyful person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, for that matter, Whoopi, the least Whoopi inducing person I've ever seen.
I love that the nun movies that she made. That was cute.
Yeah. The first one, especially Sister Act, was very cute. I did. And I liked her in a couple other films too. She was good in a couple other films too. And she could be funny on stage, but I didn't really think she was that good consistently on stage. But hey, other people did. And she had a great career doing that. But Oh my gosh. I mean, that show, The View, is like where brain cells go to die. Actually, that's where brain cells go after they die.
Did you hear? I saw, I didn't check this out, but I saw that Caitlin Clark had turned down a large sum of money to appear on the show.
Smart for her, because there's no upside. I mean,
none whatsoever. And they would get into race and everything else, and she's just playing basketball. Have you ever watched, this is off topic, but have you ever watched any of those videos of her?
Yeah, I've seen clips of her play. I mean, I'm not a basketball fan, so to be
honest. No, neither am I, and I don't know what to admire, except the ball keeps going in the basket, wherever she's from. And you see her coming down, she's not looking either side, and suddenly there's a pass behind her back to the teammate that's open. I guess she broke the assist record for the WNBA, but and she says all the right things. You know, it's like, I'm not into people endorsing or entertainers endorsing like Taylor Swift and whatever, but Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark had a similar experience. Caitlin Clark was shunned from the Olympics team, and she said, well, it's just, I just need to work more, work harder, and get better. Of course, we all know why she was shunned. Taylor Swift said back, she got shunned at the Emmys some years ago, and instead of going, oh, I was screwed, I'm a victim, whatever, she sat down and said, I have to work harder. And she did. And boy, has she succeeded. I respect her too. I don't know anything about the music. I love seeing the positivity in the crowds. To me, that is the, and you've seen crowds erupt into violence and beating and kicking people and whatever, but you see people so happy, even youngsters, so happy, knowing all the words. It's just impressive to me that there's somebody can have such a positive influence, and you know, if they get a lot of money for it, fantastic. But she's sharing it, you know, every place she goes, she gives millions to food banks. So she's pretty smart. I don't care who she votes for. I don't think
other people really do either. I actually think that she more or less wanted to get people off her back, right?
She said I've seen interviews where she says, because they said, well, how do you handle the paparazzi? She said, well, they have a job to do, and I go out, and they don't get in my face, and they take pictures, and that's okay. I like that instead of, you know, fighting. Who was it? Was it Robert De Niro or some movie person fighting back and beating up a photographer? And
Sean Penn. Yeah, because that's useful.
I don't like Sean Penn's music. So
I like his better than I like Madonna's, but hey, that's another story. But I respect Taylor Swift. She stands up for herself. You know, she took that guy to court who was grabbing her butt. It was a great DJ, I think in Denver.
Yes.
Who grabbed her ass at some sort of meet and greet. And she didn't let him off the hook, and good for her. So I respect her.
And then when the guy she didn't like got behind her back, they got sold her the music. So she went out and re-recorded all of it. So she owns her music now. And then she lobbied all the media places like iHeart and so on to play only the new Taylor Swift version of that song. You know, I like it. The guys, she's got. Moxie, I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. That's the reason why Donald Trump going after her. Just, you know, let it be. It's a flash in the pan. You're just going to sustain whatever impact that has. I don't think she wants to do that for the rest of her life, and you know, the rest of us don't want to do that for the rest of our lives either. And we have enough people that we're feuding with
in fairness, I don't know what the case is with Trump, but in fairness, a lot of these stories that become controversial are media asking people things that they were not going to talk about. I experienced this when I worked in politics, where they come up and they say, so, you know, what do you think about the referee call in the second half? And I'm just making that up, but and they're trying, they, if they're not thinking, they try to be accommodating and have an opinion, and then that becomes the big story, and it's an unnecessary controversy. So it's not like Taylor Swift came out and held a news conference and said, I'm going to vote for such and such. So those are the kinds of things that the games that the media plays, and because they're supposed to come up with something new, right? Isn't that part of news is new? And it's just, you know, you don't talk about all the neighbors that are getting along fine. You talk about the ones you hear arguing out the kitchen window. So it's sad what this is. But, you know, my wife used to have a motion when she couldn't handle something. She'd just go like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Andrew's column is up. It's in the VIP section. You should read it. You should join VIP if you haven't already joined it, and you should read Andrew's column.
Yeah, there's always sales going on. That's you can support conservative commentary, which is under attack. Hot Air, Red State, all of them. And I had a thank you in the column too, because it was a VIP column and people were reading it, and I think more people should read it.
I think everybody should read it. Everybody over there and read Andrew's stuff. But sign up for VIP at Hot Air. I'm just saying. Yeah. Get just VIP saying. Hold you get just it all. Saying. Just saying. Yeah. All right. Do you have a joke for us this week? I got one for you.
I do not, but I have a plug that I had a 911 story last week that was outside the paywall. And I went back to all the 911 sites 6 months later. And the impact that those events had had on the people involved, I found that kind of interesting, and I hope others do too. But that's outside the paywall.
That's in the clear, so you should go read that too over at redstate.com. You know, I went over to, I didn't go to New York for this purpose. I was there for something else. I forget what I was there for. It was before the book tour. I was, I think, in 2011. It must have been some sort of
conference. If you move your shoulder, we can all see the book that everyone needs to buy still.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Going red. Going, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for the book tour. It was earlier than that. And it was right after they opened. It was like the week they opened up the 9/11 memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Where the World Trade Center had been. And they were still building, you know, one WTC, the building that's up there now. They were still building it. It wasn't done yet. And it was really moving. It was really moving. So, you know, your column. Yeah.
And I understand that I have not been to the memorial, but I was there right after to the Shanksville, Pennsylvania one. And I understand that is a knockout. It's got audio. It's got pictures, bios of all the brave people, the 44 people who mutinied and gave up their lives so the U.S. Capitol was not destroyed.
The first warriors in the war on terror were on flight 93. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And So read Andrew's column, and I will tell you that they did the New York one right. It's really good. And I would highly recommend people go, but if you haven't done it, you know, it's been operational for, I think, 13 years, because I think they opened it up on the 10th anniversary.
I saw a little thing about the guys who, I think 5 times a week they clean the pool.
Yeah,
I guess people throw money and stuff in, and they were talking about how moving it is and how deep the memory is and how deep the pool is.
It's deep. Yeah. I mean, you get a sense, you get a real sense of, you know, what
the came hole, down. The hole,
yeah. The hole is amazing. Yeah.
And well, I went there 6 months later, and the hole, I mean, it's hard to believe. It's 4 square, large New York blocks.
Okay. Yeah.
Over 700,000 square feet cratered. Yeah. I mean, the scale of it, in those days, you just walked over on a ramp and, you know, you're coming down, you think, okay, it's devastation. You get there and it's so big. And in those days, the buildings around had been damaged. They had what you could see, furniture, drapes hanging out the side. It was, it's very moving. So anyway, I wanted to write about, that's one of the memory series that they have me doing.
And it's great. redstate.com. Go check that out. You don't need a membership to read that one. And read the rest of Andrew's memories series too, because they're all
yeah. Really there's 22 now. Okay.
All right. So we've got I've got one joke of the day.
Good.
All right. So husband is advised by a psychiatrist, right? He's complaining that his wife kind of runs all over, and that psychiatrist says, "Well, you got to assert yourself. You don't have to let your wife, you know, run all over you. Go home and show her you're the boss." So the husband decides, well, I'm going to do this. This sounds like good advice. So he runs home, slams the door, shakes his fist in his wife's face and growls, "From now on, you're taking orders from me. I want my supper right now. And when you get it on the table, go upstairs and lay out my best clothes. Tonight, I'm going out with the boys and you're going to stay at home where you belong. And another thing, guess who's going to comb my hair, give me a shave and tie my necktie?" His wife says, "The Undertaker."
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm not sure about that approach, Ed.
Yeah. I think that was bad advice. That was bad advice from.
I hope he didn't pay much. $200 a half hour. Yeah,
probably. All right. Andrew Malcolm.
At this point out, see, the sun has moved since we've been talking. So now you can get see who this really is.
And it's who this really is. It's been revealed. This is sort of like the end of every single Scooby-Doo episode. Yes. Oh, it's Old Man Withers. Who knew? Andrew Malcolm, though, at AH Malcolm on the Twitters is this. And of course, redstate.com. You got to go over to redstate.com. Andrew, thanks so much. We'll do this again next week.
Okay. See you, buddy. Take care, everybody.